Okay, Rabbi said today's daf is Kuf Tes. We learned yesterday till halfway down the Amud, where in the middle of the middle line it begins, Umalei Rav Acha mi difti l'ravina mi mai. Now, to properly understand what Rav Acha mi difti is saying, we really have to go over the Braisa once again, explain what the Braisa says, and why Rav Acha mi difti would like to give a different interpretation. So if we return back for a moment to Kuf Ches Amud Beis, we're going back about three quarters down the Amud. In the middle of the line it says, V'efsher l'soichtoi atzmoi tenoihi. What is this all about? So remember we spoke about yesterday that a person had a large pot, for instance, of chicken, multiple pieces of chicken, one on top of the other, in a very large pot together with soup and together with all other types of wonderful things like carrots and onions and celery, etc., etc. And then a drop of milk unfortunately fell down, spilled onto the uppermost piece of chicken, which was jutting out on top of all the other pieces of chicken inside the pot. So we said yesterday, B'Shem Reb Yehuda, and we're going to say it again today, that when that tipa fell onto that first piece of meat, it becomes now transformed into like a piece of nevela. The Gemara uses the expression chaticha nasis nevela. Of course, this is just only an expression. We're talking about that the chicken was geshochten properly, so it was not a nevela, it was super kosher. But by the fact that the drop of milk fell onto it and was absorbed into that piece of chicken, so then it becomes transformed itself into a piece of nevela, or if you like, becomes like a piece of chazer. And you're wondering to yourself, so what does all of that mean? What it means is that now if it gets merged with all of the other chatichos, all the other pieces of chicken inside that same pot, then because that first one has become imbued with the Isser of Basar B'Cholav, it now, if you will, ruins, contaminates, prohibits all of the other pieces of chicken in the pot, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that holds min b'minoi loy bata. So looking now at the Lashon HaGemara. So the Gemara calls that efsha l'soichtoi osur. What does it mean, efsha l'soichtoi osur? Efsha l'soichtoi osur is really just the reverse of the coin of the halacha of Chanan, of Chaticha, Nasis, Nevela. We took a piece of kosher meat, we transformed it with that drop of milk into a treif of piece of meat. Gemara calls it Nevela, or call it Chazer, whatever you want. So now it's become no longer a kosher piece of meat, it's a non-kosher piece of meat. And not only on its own is it non-kosher, but now it spreads the Isser to others. So maybe I should go and say that just like the Isser permeated and got imbued in this piece of meat, maybe I should say let it continue cooking and all of the milk flavoring that was in it maybe will leave the piece of meat. That would be called Efsher L'soichtoi Mutter. You can squeeze out the Isser. Gemara said, no, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of that. He holds that Efsher L'soichtoi Osser, which means that the treifus that has occurred as a result of that drop of milk stays in that meat forever and makes it osur. Yes, my good friend Ariel.
What about the concept of batel v'shishim?
That's a very, very good question. The answer is, we're talking alibed Rabbi Yehuda, and we'll see in the Gemara shortly, Rabbi Yehuda holds min b'minoi loy batel. The reason for that is because the whole inyan of shishim is that the flavor cannot extend more than a proportion of 60 times as much. So if you have a flavor that falls in a flavor of non-kosher substance, falls into a chulent, let's say a piece of chazer falls into a chulent, the chulent itself has only 20 times the shear of that chazer, or 20 or 30 times, then we say that the chazer gives flavor and tam into the chulent, and the whole chulent is awesome. However, if the chulent is 60 times as much, it overrides the flavor of that piece of chazer, and then it's kosher. But you can only say that if you're talking about two different entities, two different species. because then you can taste the flavor. What happens, however, if it's exactly the same thing? You are cooking in a big, big pot 20 pieces of chicken, and a piece of Purdue chicken falls in. As you know, Purdue chicken has been certified by all rabbinical authorities as being strictly non-kosher, so you're not allowed to eat from it. There are no doubts about it. And the reason is not because it wasn't from a kosher species. It was a chicken, but it was not geschochten. It was just a dead duck, or at least a dead chicken, that fell in. What happens now? Says Rabbi Yehuda, min beminoi loy bottle. Why does he hold min beminoi loy bottle? Because the flavor of one chicken is the flavor as the next chicken, as the flavor of the next chicken. They all have exactly the same flavor. So if anything, they reinforce the flavor as opposed to being mevatel the flavor. Yes, my good friend.
Right, but in the aforementioned case, you said the drop of milk hits a big piece of chicken, so wouldn't batel b'shishim apply there?
Very good.
The drop of milk.
What you're saying is absolutely correct. If you want to return to Kuf Ches Omer Aleph, you see, Aria, we did not have the pleasure and privilege of your participating in yesterday's share, because then all of this would be crystal clear to us, to you, and everyone. If you look at the Mishnah on the top of Kuf Ches Omer Aleph, the Mishnah said, Tipas Cholav, a drop of milk, Shenofla Ala Chaticha, that fell onto one piece of meat, a piece of chicken that was jutting out from the rest of the pot, if that tipas cholav was large enough that it gave tam into that chaticha of the meat, how did it get really that much milk? Yes, a whole cup of milk spilled in. That fell in, spilled into that big pot of chicken soup, and it fell onto that first piece of chicken which was jutting out. So that jutting out piece of chicken absorbed that tipas cholav, and unfortunately it was noisin tam. How do I know it was noisin tam? Either there was a kfeila armo, there was a non-Jewish chef that was there, and we asked him, could you do us a favor? Taste this piece of chicken. And he tastes it, and he says, I've never tasted such dairy chicken in my life, but it tastes very, very good. See, obviously it's nois and tam. What happens if you don't have a non-Jewish chef? That's when we measure bi shishim. So you're right, the shear is shishim. And our case is talking about that, unfortunately, there was too much milk, and you did not have shishim to be mevatlet. Okay? But now that first piece of... Yeah, everything okay?
It's just consistent with
Rabbi Gudashita,
ain't dam
the bottle
dam, right?
Ain't dam the bottle dam because holds min the mina bottle. We haven't gotten to that yet. At this point, Ariel was focusing on the milk and the meat, which are two different minim. So one could be mevatel the other if there were 60 portions of meat against that drop of milk. But if there wasn't, then it all becomes usur. What you are referring to is now the next step in the equation. So getting to this braisa here in the Amid Beis, back to Kuf Ches Amid Beis, the Efshel Asoichle Atzmoi, whether it's Osir or Mutter, Tanoi, it's a Machloikis Tanoi, the Sanya, Tipas Cholif Shenofla Ala Chaticha, like we just spoke about, Kim Shenos the Tam B'Chaticha, as soon as it gave Tam into that Chaticha, meaning you did not have 60 times of meat against that drop of milk, and so therefore the whole Chaticha now became Osir. So now, says the Braisa, Chaticha Atzma Nasis Nevela. That piece of Chaticha becomes like a piece of Nevela. Vo'iseris Kola Chaticha is Kulon, Mepneisha Hein Mina. And now this piece of meat, this piece of chicken, asses all the others inside the pot. Why? Because it's Min Beminoi. Rabbi Yehuda holds Min Beminoi Loi Bottle. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So now, as Igmar will explain shortly, what does it mean that chaticha nasis nevela? It means that I would normally think to myself, if a drop of milk falls into that piece of meat, even though it is larger than 1/60th, and it has caused that piece of meat now to become usur, but remember, that piece of meat is not there on its own, it's in a much larger pot full of other things, other pieces of meat, the soup, the carrots, the onions, etc., etc. So why don't I go and say now, let all the contents of that pot override and overwhelm that flavor which is in the first piece of meat. So if I would not hold chaticha nasis nevela, so then what I would continue saying is, look at the entire content, and they're mevatel that little drop of milk that fell in. Even though it fell in initially into one piece of meat, but should become bottled in the whole pot. By calling it chanan, what we're doing is we're transforming that first piece of meat into ashtik chazer, and therefore it remains chazer forever. And you cannot go and take out the flavor and say, oh, now it's kosher again. No. That's what we call efshel lesoichtoi osur. You'll see this as we go through the Gemara. This is Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. The Chachamim Oimrim, no. Look at that original drop of milk. Don't look at it only vis-a-vis the first chaticha. It has to be large enough. In other words, the volume of milk that's spilled in has to be large enough so that it gives time into the roitiv. Roitiv means the soup. Bekipa means small pieces of meat and small pieces of condiments or spice that accumulate on the bottom of the pot. Ubechatiches and all the other pieces of meat which were together in that pot. Oh, what is the svara therefore of the chachamim? They hold that the first piece does not become chanan. It doesn't become a chaticha, but rather that we look upon that drop of milk as if it's spilled into the entire pot. And then if it's filled into the entire pot, it's certainly 60 times more than that drop of milk in the entire pot. When we see the entire pot, the pot and all of its contents. So far we have a machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, and it has a major ramification. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the whole kit and caboodle, the whole pot is going to be treif because of that drop of milk that fell into the first piece of meat, which didn't have shishim, and that piece of meat in turn acid everything else. But the Chum say, no. Keep all the contents, all the ingredients together, and all the ingredients together are more than 60 times that little drop of milk, and everything is kosher. And now we have Rebbe, that is Yobi HaKosav HaShlishi V'Yachriya Beinayim. Rebbe, Nir and Deb Rebbe Yehuda B'Shaloi Nir B'Shaloi Kisa. I prefer Rebbe Yehuda's halacha when you did not stir up the rest of the pot. B'Divrei Chacham, and I prefer the words of the Chacham B'Shenir V'Kisa when he did stir it up. Kisa means that by covering the pot, that also causes an internal stirring of the contents. So we have a machloikis now here in this braisa between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, and we have a Rebbe that tries to take a middle path between the two. So now the Gemara explains, what's the machloikis, what are we talking about? So remember, Rebbe said, Nir and Rabbi Yehuda, I like Rabbi Yehuda, that all the contents are also b'shalai nir, b'shalai kisa. Freitimar, my loy nir v'la kisa. What does that mean that you didn't stir it up? Ilema loy nir klal, you didn't stir the pot at all. V'la kisa klal, and you didn't cover it with a lid at all. Then nivla bala miflat loy palat. Then I don't even understand the whole discussion. We're talking about that first top piece of meat was above the water line and above all the other pieces of meat inside the pot. And some milk fell into that piece of meat. And you're telling me that according to Rebbe, once that first piece of meat gets that bad milk flavor, it becomes also like a chaticha nasis nevela and asses all the other pieces of meat because min peminoi loy batel. I don't understand. If you didn't stir the pot at all, the mivla bala of that first piece of meat was boleya, the milk. Miflei palat. It never went and subsequently allowed the tam of either the milk or of that meat to spread into the rest of the pot because he never stirred it. And therefore that top piece of meat will remain osir, but everything else is going to remain mutter. Doesn't make sense that what Rabbi Yehuda said, that oiseres kola chatichas kulan. It's not. If I didn't mix the pot, then that top, the first piece is osir. Take it off, throw it into the waste bin, and the rest is kosher. Elamai must be that when Rebbe said, Nirin Rebbe Yehuda, b'shloi nir, b'shloi kisa, what he meant is, Ela loy nir b'tchila, ela b'soif, loy kisa b'tchila, ela b'soif. In other words, At the very beginning, we were not menayir it. We did not mix it. Because if when that drop of milk fell in, I would stir it up immediately, then that milk never had the opportunity to go and contaminate and prohibit one isolated piece of meat, because I immediately stir the whole thing up. So then everybody would agree that the drop of milk has to be compared in proportion to the whole pot and not just to one piece of meat. Elamai, what we're talking about is at the outset that drop of milk fell on piece number one and it absorbed it, let's say, for the first half hour, just to give an example. After the half hour, someone said, you know what, that first piece of meat is never going to get cooked because it's on top of the pot. And then they stirred it all up. Oh, yeah, yeah, but that first piece of meat had in it the milk, and it became osir chanan like a chatich of nevela. Says Rabbi Yehuda, in that case, it osirs everything. The ela loynir betchila ela besoif, we didn't stir it up initially, only later. Like kis betchila ela besoif. And therefore, says the Gemara, that's why Rabbi Yehuda holds, and that's why Rabbi would agree that the first piece is going to osir all the other pieces. Why? Am I? Habala? Vapalat? I understand that when the drop of milk fell on that first piece of meat, it prohibited it, it ossered it. But after that, when you stirred it all up, why don't you go and say, Habalat? That same drop of milk that fell into the first piece of meat left the first piece of meat and now permeated and got absorbed by the rest of the contents of the pot. Because he holds no. Once you say that the first piece of meat gets the bliois, the bliois means the absorptions of that milk, it got transformed from your regular kosher piece of meat into a piece of nevela, or if you want, a piece of chazer, and that's irreversible. You don't say that afterwards, poilet the iser, it remains oser forever, and that's why it osers all the other pieces of meat inside the pot. And that's what the Gemara calls Efsher L'Soichtoi Osir. So now,
because... It's such a concept of, if it's Bala, it's in, I know we've had it in other places where it's Bolea, and it's busy being Bolea, it doesn't have the opportunity to be the Tolet.
Which you said is beautiful. If you remember yesterday, in the middle of the Amud Beis, we said if the whole Yoda was Rosachas, was
right,
bubbling
right,
and bubbling
right.
And bubbling, it is such an intense amount of heat that any contents can be boilea, but they cannot be polate because the yora is just too active and it doesn't allow you to be polate. That's correct. We're talking about that it was not a yora rosachas, it was just on a small flame, so it wasn't really cooking and cooking with that great intense degree of cooking. Okay? So this is the Tanakhama. This is Rabbi Yehuda, and this is where Rabbi says, I agree to Rabbi Yehuda. So now, when did Rabbi agree to Rabbi Yehuda? When initially there was no near, it was only near basaf, like near betchila, el basaf. That's when Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says, I agree to Rabbi Yehuda. Says Yomar, the ta' mechlad Rabbi Yehuda savar, ki near metchila vi'ad soif, v'kisa metchila v'ad soif, aser. It's mashma that Rabbi Yehuda himself holds, that even if you menayah from beginning to end, it's also asr. In other words, more than Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Rebbe says, I agree with Rabbi Yehuda in the case of loynir betchila, el basoif. Mashma that Rabbi Yehuda himself holds that even if you menayah betchila v'ad soif, it's also asr. Freitimar amai, haloy bolaklal. If as soon as the drop of milk spilled onto that first piece of meat, the chef took one of these large ladles and started stirring up the whole pot, then that first piece of meat never had the opportunity to be bolea that drop of milk. Because ab initio, from the very beginning, he mixed and mixed and mixed. So therefore, the milk got blended in with the entire pot. So I don't understand why Rabbi Yehuda would say it becomes chaticha nasas nevela and asers everything. Everything more aima loinir yafa yafa v'lekisa yafa yafa. Rabbi Yehuda holds, yes, the person stirred up the pot from the outset, but maybe he didn't do such a good job. He didn't go and do it that thoroughly, so therefore the first drop of milk that spilled onto that first piece of meat was absorbed in that piece of meat. And even though I, after that, took the ladle and I mished and I mixed, I didn't do such a good job of mixing. And so therefore, that drop of milk got imbued, immersed, absorbed in that first piece of meat. And that's why it asers everything else. Rebbe, on the other hand, says, I'm not choshesh that he didn't do a good job of mixing. As soon as I see that he's mixing, fine, then the whole milk gets dispersed into the whole pot. That was Rebbe Yehuda. What we've proven so far is Rebbe Yehuda holds efshir l'soichtoi osur. Now let's look at the continuation of Rebbe. Rebbe says, Niren li deri chachamim kishenir v'kisa. Then I like the Chacham. Remember the Chacham said that we deem this drop of milk to have spread out all over the entire pot. So it's only going to aser anything if it's more than 1/60th of the contents of the whole pot. So that, in other words, there's so much milk that it is nois in tam, not in one piece of meat, but in the whole kit and caboodle, the whole pot. So Omamai, the Dibri Chacham, I like the Chacham kishenir v'kisa. Zokimar, my near my kisa. What does that mean, near v'kisa? Ileman near b'tsoif, v'loy near b'tchila. V'kisa b'tsoif, v'loy kisa b'tchila. That's the case where Rebbe says, I prefer divrei chachamim. That cannot be. Ho'amris, we've just concluded on the Amud Beis that when did Rebbe say, I prefer the words of Rebbe Yehuda? In precisely this case, where initially there was no ni'or, and therefore the first piece of meat was able to absorb that drop of milk, and only later on was he menayer, did he go and do the stirring, and so therefore that first piece of meat now had the ability to go and aser all the other pieces of meat, because min b'mina le'bot. So don't tell me that that's the case where Rebbe says, I prefer divrei chachamim, because that's the very case for eating Gemara, Umay kisa ilayma near b'soif and near b'tchila kisa b'soif and near b'tchila. Ho amris near the Rebbe Yehuda b'ha. That's where Rebbe Yehuda said. That's where the Brisa said that Rebbe said. I like Rebbe Yehuda's halacha. Elamai vus musman zog. We have to go and say near b'tchila v'atzoif and kisa b'tchila v'atzoif. That when Rebbe says I like the words of the Chachamim b'near v'kisa, it means from beginning to end. Since the entire time there was a full-fledged ni'or, already from the very outset, that's why I like the words of the Chacham. So tomorrow, Mechlal, the Rabbanan Tzavri, near Besofli, near Betchila, Kisa Besofli, Kisa Betchila, is also mutter. Since Rebbe says, I prefer the words of Rabbanan in this case, when he was Menayim, Betchila, Batzoif, is the Charaya that the Rabbanan themselves are talking about, even if it was only a ni'or Besof, and not b'tchila, the same halacha applies. Now why would this be according to Rabbanan? After all, if there was a near constantly the whole time, the Rabbanan are saying in this brisa that we deem the milk not to have spilled on the first piece of meat, but in the entire content. What's the svara of the Rabbanan? Alma kasavri, efshel soichtoi mutter. Even though there was only a near besoif, a near betchila, right? Go back four lines. Mechlal de Rabbanan Tzavi, near besoif, a near betchila. He only did a near at the end, not at the beginning. It's also mutter. Why is it mutter? After all, the first piece became ashtik nevela because initially there was no near, and therefore it got immersed, imbued, absorbed that milk. So it should go and aser everything. Alma Kasavri, because Rabbanan hold Efsel Soichli Mutter, they don't hold of the concept of Chanan, and they say, Kiboyle Kach Poltoi, as they would say in English, easy come, easy go. That there was flavor of the milk that went into the meat, maskim, but just as quickly as it went in, when you did the near subsequently, it left the meat. And that's why it's Mutter. With this is where we stopped yesterday, and we've proven that this brisa represents a machloikis between the Tanakhama Rebbe Yehuda and the Chachamim in the halach of efshar l'soich toi mutter or aser. Because yesterday on the Omer Aleph we had a machloikis between Amoiroyim, whether you hold efshar l'soich toi mutter or aser. Now I've proven that this machloikis is not only a machloikis of Amoiroyim, It's a machloikis ultif tanoim of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, where Rabbi Yehuda holds efshel esoich de osir, and this piece of meat remains osir forever and ever. Chaticha nasis nevela. Not according to the Chacham. Chacham hold efshel esoich de mutter, and just like the milk went into the meat, the milk leaves the meat, and everything is kusha v'yusha, unless you had so much milk that it overwhelms the entire pot.
Don't we say Kabbalah Kachpoto by kosher and stuff too? There's some who say that, I think it's, was it the Rav or someone that the kosher stuff, like ovens that aren't, don't get up to a very high standard of heat? Like, we use that concept also.
You're 100% right. So that's essentially what the Chachamim hold, according to the way the Gemara has explained it until now. Kiboyloi, just like that first piece of meat was boileya, the bad stuff in this case, meaning the milk. Then, a few minutes later, when you were menayer, when you stirred it up, that same milk that went in, the milk leaves, and now you combine it with all the contents of the entire pot. And although vis-a-vis that first piece of meat, you didn't have 60 to mavatel it, but in the large pot with so many other pieces of meat and so many onions and carrots and celery and water, then it did overwhelm that tipas cholov. So you could use that expression, kiboyle, just like it was boileya, poltoy. It went in and it went out. Easy in, easy out. That's basically the svar of the Chacham. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Since the milk hit that piece of meat initially, before you stirred it up, it got imbued and absorbed that milk, it became ashtik nevela, and now it remains a nevela forever. It's irreversible. And now this piece of meat goes and asses all the other pieces of meat. So now, says the Gemara, so I've proven my case, that efshel esoich de osir mut is machloikis tanoi. Om le rabach mi difta ravina. Mimai, who says to be efshel esoich de pligi? Maybe everybody agrees, even the Chachamim hold, that once that drop of milk permeated and got imbued and absorbed in the first piece of meat, it remains osir forever. Forever. So what's the machloikis? The machloikis is whether that first piece of meat will now osir all the other pieces of meat because it's min b'minai. Loi bottle, and therefore all the other pieces of meat will become osir. If you go back to the original brisa on the Amid base, tipas cholev shenofla al chaticha, kimi shenosa tam b'chaticha, hachaticha atzma nasas nevela v'oiseres, kol hachaticha is kula mipnei shehim mina, since they're all the same piece of chicken, or the same piece of roast beef, one is going to osir all the other guys, because min b'mina loi bottle. No. Even though they happen to be the same min, you go with the same rules of bittul as if it was a different entity. Even though you're right, I cannot distinguish between the flavor of the kosher chicken against the flavor of the non-kosher chicken. But what I have to do is I have to measure the bad chicken, the one that is causing trouble for the others. What would be if this wasn't a piece of chicken? It would be a piece of chazer. It would be a piece of some other non-kosher species. Would it give tam? If it would give tam, awesome. If it would not give tam, mutter. So it's not because of min b'minoi. I treat it as if it's min b'she'ena minoi, and I use the normal rules and regulations, which are, would it give tam? Awesome. If it would not give tam, it's mutter. So what the Gemara is saying is, what you tried to say until now, over the last 25 minutes, and yesterday, that the machloikis in this price between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan is, Efshel Soich Dei Osir, Efshel Soich Dei Mutter, no! Everybody holds Efshel Soich Dei, is Osir, even the Rabbanan. Why did the Rabbanan then say that, Achetitin Tam Beroitav Bekipa B'chatichos, why don't they agree to Rabbi Yehuda that says that first piece of meat asks all the other pieces of meat, because they hold min b'minoi bottle. Rabbi Yehuda holds min b'minoi loy bottle. Rabbanan Tamai Diyami min b'minoi bottle. So maybe that's the machloikis. So everybody holds efshel esoich de osir. What's the nafkimina la locha between the first explanation and the second explanation. As we'll see in the Gemara, the nafkimina will be that first piece of meat in which the milk spilled into it. If I hold that there's a machloik between Efshel Soich the Osur and Efshel Soich the Mutter, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that first piece of meat would be Osur and Osur forever, and that's why it's going to Asur all the other Chatichot. On the other hand, according to Rabbanan, if you hold Efshel Soich the Mutter, that first piece of meat will not Asur all the other Chatichot, and in itself will be bottle in terms of it'll be kosher, because all the contents of the pot you'll add together to overwhelm the tamu iser in that first piece of meat, and everything will be mutter, even the first piece of meat. That's if you hold the machloikis is between efshel seichtei osur, efshel seichtei mutter. But if you hold that everybody holds efshel seichtei osur, the only question is whether that first piece can spread the iser to the other pieces. So then in truth, the machloikis will not only be vis-a-vis the rest of the contents, but even on that first piece of meat, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, since it got imbued and immersed with the chalav, it becomes 100% osur. According to the Rabbanan, no, it did not become osur at all. Why didn't it become osur? Because of the fact that it was, I don't hold efshel seichtei osur, I hold efshel seichtei mutter. So what the Gemara is telling us is the nafkimina between yesterday's machloikis, efshel seichtei osur, efshel seichtei mutter, and the machloikis today, that everybody holds efshel seichtei osur, but the machloikis is only min b'minay bottle, aloy bottle, the nafkimina will be on that first piece of meat. Where according to yesterday's pshat, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the first piece of meat becomes osur irreversibly. It's chanan efshel seichtei osur. According to Rabbanan, no, just like the other gentleman said before, kiboylech kach poltoi, easy come, easy go.
Ilan,
thank you, Ilan. They are magnificent Balkore on Mondays and Thursdays, Shkoyach. The Isser gets imbued into that first piece of meat. But guess what? As easy it came in, it left that piece of meat. Then that first piece of meat will also be mutter. Efshel seichtei mutter. That's yesterday. According to the way the Gemara is learning now, if everybody holds Efshel seichtei is asur, then even the Rabbanan agree that that first piece of meat remains osur irreversibly. So what's the machlokes? Machlokes is, can it now spread that iser to the rest of the contents? According to Yehuda, yes, it spreads. And you can't stop it, even if you have a thousand times of chatichos and mixture of soup and all the rest. It's still going to asur all the other chatichos. You know why it's going to asur it? Min b'minay laibot. Mashenkin according to Rabbanan, no, I hold min b'mini as bottle. So even though all that first piece of meat got osur, it doesn't osur anything else, because all the rest of the contents of the pot are more than 60 times as much, and I don't say that min b'mini lo e bottle. So that's what the Gemara says now. Omli Ravach mi dita ravina. Mi mai de b'efshel seichtei pliki. Dum efshel seichtei v'koil is osur. And therefore everybody will agree that that first piece of meat remains osur forever. Buda holds the min b'minay loy bottle, and that's why it asers all the other chatichos, like he says befeirish. Voiseres kol chatichos kulam neishen bina. Rabban le tamei de min b'minay bottle. So even though that first piece that became aser, it's aser forever, irreversibly. But it doesn't aser all the other chatichos, because min b'minay is bottle. So that pshat is a beautiful pshat. So how do you know that the machloikis is whether efshel seichtei osur or mutter? Maybe the machloikis is min b'minay batul or loy batul. The Tumar Haimai, I don't even understand your question, because iam is bishloim midraban min b'minay hachik krib Yehuda svir lehu ube efshel seichtei pligi hayne deka amar Rabbi nirin de Rabbi Yehuda b'ham de b'chacham and b'ham. What the Gemara is saying is, if you're going to go and tell me that the whole machloikis between Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda is isolated to the din of min b'minoi, then it doesn't make sense what Rabbi was saying, that I agree with Rabbi Yehuda in the first case, and I agree with the Chachamim in the second case. So nochlo, iyamis b'shloim mid Rabban b'min b'minoi hachik Rabbi Yehuda svir lehu. If they're going to go and tell me like we learned originally yesterday, and the first part of today's shiur, that really and truly the Rabbanon agree with Rabbi Huda in the din amin b'mina. Where's the machloikis? The machloikis is whether or not I say chanan and that the first piece becomes osir forever, irreversibly. And the Chum say no. So Haina de Kamba Rabbi near the Yehuda Bahab, the Chum Bahab. Then it makes a lot of sense that Rabbi Yehuda says, when do I subscribe to Hanan that that first piece of meat becomes osir and remains osir? Like he said, I hold that Rabbi Yehuda beloy near. We didn't do a near initially. And so that first piece of meat became totally osir. I understand that perfectly. Where do I hold like the Chacham, that the Chacham say, because it's talking about a case that from the very outset we were mixing, and therefore that first piece of meat, just like it was by Leah, it was immediately pole, and therefore it did not become osir. So that makes a lot of sense that Rebbe says, I hold like Rebbe Huda in the first case, first piece of meat becomes osir, and osir is everything, because there was no niur. And I agree with Chachamim in the second case, where there was a niur mitchila from the very outset. So even the first piece of meat didn't become osur. Efshe l'soichte mutter. Eli Amris, efshe l'soichte divya koil osur. If you're going to tell me that everybody holds divya koil osur. And that therefore that first piece of meat remains osur according to everyone. And the whole machlokes is b'min b'minoi k'nifligi, says Yimara ha'inirin div Rabbi Yehuda, v'ein nirin mi bo'ilei. Rabbi Yehuda never agrees to the Chachamim, because Rabbi holds, either like Rabbi Yehuda, that the first piece of meat became chanan, it became totally osur. Why? Because the milk spilled on it. That piece of meat in turn asses all the other chatichos inside the pot. You know why? Because it's talking about loy nier. You didn't have a nier initially, only later on, an hour later. So therefore, that first piece of meat had the opportunity to go and asser all the other guys inside the pot. Says Rebbe, I agree with Rebbe Yehuda in that case. Masha Inkain, in the other case, what was the other case? Where you had a near betchila, what does Rebbe hold then? That nothing becomes osir, because that drop of meat, that drop of milk that fell into the first piece of meat, since you were near betchila, it's as if that drop of milk spilled into the entire contents of the pot, and therefore everything is mutter, like it says. Ashatitin tamba roitwe kiba chatichois. Rebbe says, I agree. He doesn't have to say, I agree to the chachamim in that case. What he should simply say is, if you are menayir betchila, then of course everything is mutter, because it never had an opportunity to create a chanan, a chaticha, to become a shtik nevela, or a shtik chazer, because I was menayir from the very outset. See, he doesn't have to go and say, I hold like Rabbi Yehuda in the Reisha, but I hold like the Chachomim in the Sefer. When I say Reisha and Sefer, I hold Rabbi Yehuda in the case where he was not Menayir B'tchila, so became Ashtik Hanan and Asad all the others. I hold like the Chachomim that when he was Menayir B'tchila, then all the contents happened to be Mutter. That's not what the Rabbanan hold. If you're going to tell me that everybody, according to the second understanding, the second explanation of the Braisa, that even the Rabbanan hold that Chanan, that what? That Efshel HaSoichti is Asur, the only Machlokis is the Gam B'min B'minoi, then Rabbi Yehuda, I'm sorry, then Rabbi should not be saying, I hold like the Rabbanan in the case of Nir Metchila. He should simply say, I do not hold like Rabbi Yehuda in a case of Nir Metchila. Why? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, he holds even near betchila, am choishish maybe loy near yafa yafa, and that for the first piece of meat became osir, and then asses all the other chatichais. Says about that, Rabbi, I respectfully disagree. I'm not choishish that you didn't do a good job of near. There was a good job of near. So therefore, bottom line is, if there was no near betchila, and the milk fell into the first piece of meat, says Rabbi, I'm on the same team with Rabbi Yehuda, that first piece of meat becomes chaticha, nasas avela, and it's osir, and asas all the other chatichas. When do I disagree with Rabbi Yehuda? I disagree with Yehuda if it was a near mitchila batsoif, there was a constant stirring from the very, very beginning. And then I don't hold that it became chanan. You know why it didn't become chanan? Because it didn't leave even a minute for the milk to get absorbed into that first piece of meat. You and mix it from the very beginning. So it's not because he's holding like the Rabbana. It's because I continue to hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and when it was mixed from the very, very beginning, then the first piece of meat never became Chanan, and that's why it doesn't answer all the other pieces of meat. The fact that the Rebbe says, and I hold like the Rabbanan in the second case, is the chassimin that the machloikis between Rebbe Yehuda and the Rabbanan was a machloikis. Rebbe Yehuda holds Chanan, Efshir Lesoichtoi is Asur. The Rabbanan hold Efshir Lesoichtoi is Mutter. And I hold in some cases like Rebbe Yehuda. Where do I hold like Rebbe Yehuda? If there was no near Betchila, then the first piece became Tak Ashtik Chanan, Ashtik Nevela, and Asad all the rest. But I hold like the Rabbanan in the Seifa. What did the Rabbanan say in the Seifa? They hold Efshir Lesoichtoi Mutter. You know why Efshir Lesoichtoi Mutter? Because there was a constant stirring of the pot. So then the first piece was never able to go and get become a Chanan, and that's why everything in the pot you measure together against that Tipas Cholov, and that's why it's kosher according to Rebbe. So back to the Gemara again, Zokti Gemara, Eli Amris, Efshel Soichel, Divya Kol Aser, if you would hold that even the Rabbanan would hold Divya Kol Aser, V'achle Min Bamina Kabifi, the Machlok is Min Bamina, why would Rebbe Yehuda say, I hold like Rebbe Yehuda in a case where there was Loi near Betchila, Ele Besoif. And I hold like the Rabbanan in a case of near Metchila Batsoif, he should simply say, Hai nirin divi Rabbi Yehuda, the ain nirin mi boile. He should say that I agree to Rabbi Yehuda in a case where Loi near Ela Besoif, but I disagree with Rabbi Yehuda when he holds that if it was near Metchila Batsoif, even there Rabbi Yehuda holds Loi near Yafa Yafa, and therefore the first piece becomes, Tomei becomes contaminated with that milk, Chanan, and it asks all the rest. I don't agree over there. Sulay Midi. Why did Rabbi Yehuda have to even, why did Rebbe have to make reference to the Chachamim? Is the Chassimin that the Machloikis is not the Gab Min Beminoi? The Machloikis is the Gabi, whether or not Efshel Lesoichtoi Aser or Efshel Lesoichtoi. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. And now the next Mishnah and the next Gemara, Rabbi Isai, are much, much easier. And we start the Mishnah with Chal. Chal are the udders on the bottom of the animal. Bottom of a female animal. That's where we get our milk from. We extract the milk by squeezing the udders and getting the milk. And then they're sold in the marketplace. Okay, all of that is great. Now, the Chal itself, being part of the anatomy of the animal, is obviously a piece of meat. Inside the Chal is milk. Rashi tells us, and we'll see this mentioned in the Gemara, that Cholav Shchuta is Mutter Min HaTayr. Meaning, the only time you have a din of Basar B'Cholav is only after you milk the cow. And now you have milk in your container. That milk, if it mixes together with meat, then it becomes Basar B'Cholav. However, the fact that there is milk inside the udders which have never come out of the udders yet, they're still inside the udders. And now somebody shechted the animal and finds in that chal that there's meat, there's milk that has not been drawn yet, has not been used for nursing the baby animals, or nobody has squeezed it out. Min ha-toira, that milk is mutalach, no dinner basa b'cholav. That's what the Gemara calls cholav shchuta, cholav of an animal that I shechted, that milk is kosher min ha-toira. However, Midrabbanan, the Rabbanan were goyzer to regular basar b'cholav, and they say, don't cook the chal with the milk inside, but rather withdraw the milk. How are you going to withdraw the milk? Says the Mishnah, koyrai, tear it, cut it. We'll see Mechim in the Amid Beis, the way you cut it is you do a shesiv eret. That means a vertical cut and a horizontal cut, and then you pound it against the wall to squeeze out every drop of milk, and then you can go and kush it, and then you can cook it. It's really chalovay. Chalovay means it's milk, not to be confused with chalvay, which would be its chalv. Not too much chalv, too much milk. Go and cut it, and remove and extract the milk. Now, what happens later? What happens if you cook the chal and you forgot and you didn't take out the milk? Later, ainay oiver olav. If he eats now that chal with the milk inside, he does not get malchus. Why doesn't he get malchus? Says Rashi, because it's only an issa drabana. It's not an issa diaraisa. The Gemara is going to have a machloikis, whether or not going to have two versions of Rav, whether maybe you're allowed to even eat it lechatchila. It just says ainay oiver olav. So can he eat it now lechatchila when you were not koyrea? We'll see a match of the Gemara shortly. Now we have a second case in the Mishnah. Halev is the heart, koyroi. The heart, obviously, you don't have a problem with milk. You have a problem of dam. It's a dumb question, right? You have a problem of blood inside that lev. There too, halev koyroi, before you cook it, you have to be koyroi, go and tear it apart, or moitzi his tummy and get out the blood. Loi koroi, if you didn't get out the blood, ainah oiver olav. Why aren't you oiver olav? After all this dam inside, says Rashi, because we're talking about a behemah, not a behema, we're talking about the lave, the heart of an oif, of a bird. The amount of blood in the lave of a bird is very small and less than a kezayis. Since it's less than a kezayis, even though you're not allowed to eat, chutzi zayis is also, it's a chutzi shir, is also osir. Machloik is what the derais or the rabban, but a chutzi shir is osir. Nevertheless, you don't get pech, you don't get malchus, unless you had a shir kezayis, and here you didn't have a shir kezayis, because you're talking about the dam of an oif, not of a bay. Okay, the focus of the Gemara is now going to be on the chal. Remember we said about the chal, lechatchila, these udders, go and tear them apart before you cook. What happens if you cooked the chal with the milk inside? Says the Mishnah, ainay oiver olav, you're not oiver. Zokti Yomara Omer Abzeira Omer Rav onto the Omer Beis. Any oiver olav, not only are you not oiver, but it's even mutter lechatchila. And the obvious question is, Frek Yomara, vo'anan tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, any oiver olav. It sounds like the Dieven me'ever hudle over, ho'yisura ikka, don't eat it. But if you ate it, we don't give you a patch, because it's only an issa drabanan. Because if it was mutter, it should say in the Mishnah, loy koroi, Mutalachar. Why did it say Ainay Oiver Olav? So it sounds like it's also not like Reb Zeira Marav. And for the Marsanishka Kasha, Bidin Hudi Yisura Namilek. The truth of the matter is not even an Isser. And Lichatchil, you're allowed to go and eat it. Vaidi the boiler, Mr. Seifa, since the Seifa says, Halev Koiroi Umoitzi Estamale Korei Ainay Oiver Olav. And there in the Seifa, when it says Ainay Oiver Olav, Hasim Evahud Le Ovar, he doesn't get Malkis or Kores, but Ha'isur Ika. But there's an Isser. Why is there an Isser? Because of Chutzi Shir Usser, either Min HaToyra or Midrabanan. So therefore, it cannot say in the Sefer that it's Mutter. There's an Isser involved. He just doesn't get Petch for it. Neither Malkis nor Kores. Tananam Yeresha Eina Over Ulav. So he has consistency in style, says the Tana, both Eina Over Ulav. But there's a difference. In the Reisha, Eina Oiver Olav, and it's Mutter. In the Sefer, Eina Oiver Olav, and it's Asr. Says you want to lay Messiah, let me bring a Rayataka that Chal, if you did not go and cut it up, you can eat it Lichat Chila. What's the Ray from a Braisa? HaKchal, Koiroi, you tear it, Umoitzias Chalovai, and withdraw the milk, extricate the milk. Leikari, what happens if you didn't? Eina Oiver Olav. So far, this is word for word like our Mishnah. But now the Braisa continues on. Halev, koiroi, umoitzias domoi, loy koroi. Our Mishnah says, loy koroi, ainay oiver olav. Says the Braisa, loy koroi. Koiliyacha Mishu, do a kriya now. You didn't do a kriya before the cooking, you should have. Now do a kriya now. And then it will be mutter. So notice that the seif of the Braisa says, by lev, even though you messed up and you didn't do a kriya before the bishul, do a kriya after the bishul, and then it'll be mut. So Gemara is medayik. Leiv hu debay kriya. Why does it say only by the leiv do a kriya now? Why didn't it say by the chal also after the fact do a kriya? Because chal leiboy kriya. Because chal doesn't require kriya. Because b'diavet said Reb Zeira Amarav mutter. Oh, so chal have a star karay from the brisa. So Gemara nish karay. It's the other way around. By a lev, you could even do post-mortem, post-bishul, you could still do a kriya and get the blood out afterwards. You should do it lechatchila before the bishul. But if you did it only after the bishul, then the evidence holds good. Sagle b'kriya. Avchali sagle b'kriya. Once you cooked it, you're stuck. You can no longer eat from it. It's aser. Why? Because you cannot extract the milk from the chal after the bishul. And the reason is, says Rashi, because chal is rach. It is so soft. It is so absorbent. As a result of the bishul, all the cholov is nivla, is absorbed in the walls of the chal. Now if you want to do a kriya, it's already too late. It's not going to work. Mashenke, in the case of lev, says Rashi, lev is shia. Shia means it's very smooth and it's non-absorbent. Ah, so I don't have to worry about the lev. All I have to do is now cut it after the fact, after the bishul, get out any remaining blood, and you can eat the rest of the lev, because the lev was not boleya, did not absorb the blood. But the chal, since it happens to be so soft, it is boleya, that milk, and therefore your kriya is not going to help. So bottom line is, I have no kasha, I have no raya. Reb Zeira Merav said, Eina oiva olav umater. The ikka di avli, and I have another version. Mantayra yedidim, mantayra chavayrim, and shildix mantayra yedidim, tayra chush ve'erlechim. Gentlemen, they don't listen. The ikka di avli, there's another version. Om Reb Zeira Merav. Eina oiva olav v'yasor. If you forgot to do a kriya before the bishul, and now you want to eat from it, you're not allowed to. It's aser. Of course, it's an isid rabbana. Ein oiver alav, you don't get malchus for it. It's only isid rabbana. Isid rabbana, you don't get malchus. But it's aser. In other words, just the opposite of the first version, we say it's mutter. According to the second version, it's aser. All of the things that we asked from the first version, a kasha, we're going to bring now as a raya. And where we previously brought a raya, we're going to ask a kasha. You're telling me, in oivel of the osel in Messiah, let's bring it right for the Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, chal koiroi. What happens if you forgot to be koireya? Eini oivel olav, izach mashma, eini oivel olav miver hu delay ovar. He doesn't get malkis, hoisur ikka, but there is an iser. Oh, is the haraya to this second version of Abzeira Merav, that it's taka osur, because why does the Mishnah say eini oivel olav? It should go and say, osur. By saying ein oiver alav is the chmashma, the if you held that it was mutter like the first version, it should say mutter. By the fact that it says ein oiver alav, that means malchus there isn't, but there's still an iser. Is a raya to this Reb Zeira Omarav. So to our nishkarat, but then who do you sort of nami leker? It could be like the first lashon that in fact it's mutter lach. Aye, so why didn't it say mutter? Why did it say ein oiver alav? By the boy, Mr. Sefer, since the Sefer says aleif kari moitzis dami le kari ein oiver alav. But there's still an isur of dam al tzchotzi shiur. So we use the same expression, the same words. But in the truth, it could be that it's in fact mutter. So you have no raya from our Mishnah that it's awesome. Toshima, let's ask a kasha from the following price. The price says a chal koira yu moitzi es chalovai. Just go and tear it apart and take out the milk. Like kar, if you didn't tear it apart, ein oiver olav. That's by the chal. Halev, koiroi, umoitzi es damai, loi koroi, if you forgot to go and cut it up, koiroi li ancha bishulei umutr. So now the Gemara is medayik. Lev hu de boi kriya. It's only the lev that requires kriya. Al chal loi boi kriya. Notice it didn't say by chal, loi koroi, go and be koreya now after the bishul. Chal doesn't need kriya. Why doesn't it need kriya? Because the Gemara assumes because it's mutter, like Reb Zeira Merav says at the top of the Amid, Eina Oiver Olav U Mutter. That's why don't bother doing Kriya now. The Tumar Nishka Raya, Nishka Kasha, the Malevo, the Sagalevi Kriya. The Pshat and the Braisa is, you can be Metake, you can fix the Lev by doing Kriya now. Now, Chavli Sagalevi Kriya, you cannot go and fix it. Even if you do 100 Kriyas, it's not going to work. Why? Because it remains Asur. So bottom line is, we have two lishoinis of what Reb Zeira Merav said. Either he said that it's mutter, or that he said it's asur, and we brought in both our Mishnah and a Braisa to ask Akasha or bring a Raya to the two versions. How do we paskin Tanya Kalishna Kama, the Rav, I have a Befevish of Braisa, like the first Lashon of Rav, Chal Shebishloi B'chalovai, you cooked it in its Cholov, mutter. Oh, it says mutter. It doesn't say tzarech lekari. Ain't a tzarech lekari. It doesn't say ain't a oiv olav. It says clearly mutter, which is like the top line of Rav that says ain't a oiv olav umut. Now the Brisa continues on keva shebishlo b'chalova aser. What's a keva? Keva, as you know, is one of the four stomachs. What happens if you have a young calf or a young gedi or a young keves and they nursed from their mommy? And as a result of nursing from their mommy, they have milk inside their keva, inside their stomach. And now you shechted this young calf and you opened up and you found that there's a keva inside. And you know that this chalav inside, what you should do is you should be koirea. What happens if he was not koirea? But keva shebishlo b'chalva, b'chalva, the keva was cooked together with, not b'chalva, b'chalava, with the chalav inside, it's awesome. So chal with milk inside, you cooked it, is mutter. The keva with milk inside is awesome. Frey timara manishtana mal hefrich ben zel, is that? Says timara, is that konis b'meyev, is that in konis b'meyev? What does that mean? In the case of the keva, we started off with kosher milk that it nursed from its mommy. That's the same milk that if it had not nursed from its mommy, the farmers would have gone and kvetched. They would have squeezed those udders to get milk out and to put it in milk containers and to go and sell it to the public. So that's real milk that left the udders. Oh, real milk. Then you have questions of basa b'chalav d'araisa. In the case of the kchal, the milk never came out of the kchal. It stayed in the udders all along. It's still there. So avada midrabanan, you have to be korea. Minatoira, it's chalav shchuta, which is mutter. It's minatoira, it's mutter. Ah, so therefore says our Gemara, if you messed up and you mavashal it with the milk inside, in the case of the keva, you're talking about real live milk which was inside the keva, and therefore it's going to be osur if you didn't do that korea. But in the case of the kchal, it's not milk which is konis b'meyav. In other words, that there's a container of milk in the kchal. All of that milk is still absorbed into the walls of the udder of the kchal. Therefore, b'diavet, if you didn't do a kriya, it's mutter. Question now is, ketzer koroi, how do you do that kriya? We've been talking about kriya, kriya, kriya. How do you do it? I'm reviewing the kodesh yesterday, the erev, the tochel b'koifel. You have to go and cut it vertical and horizontal, and now take that kchal after you've cut it and smash it against the wall to go and take out any remaining milk inside. If you're wondering why do you have to smash it against the wall, because you don't want any milk to remain. By doing it against the wall in a vertical way, any milk that's still there will hopefully drip and drop and drop and drip. There'll be no milk left. That's how you do the creek. I mean, after the fact or instead of?
No. You grow instead of smashing the wall, you take water and
Because the Gemara assumes that as a result of the kriya, that's only a superficial wound to take out the milk that may be embedded and imbued on the top of the kchal that you just cut. But what about the bottom of the kchal, which you didn't cut, right? You just made an X, a shesav erev, so that did a good job in the front. What about the back of the kchal? It still has milk in there. So go and give it up. Bang against the wall and kvetch out whatever you can. Azayizok Rav Yehuda. That's how you do kriya. Now the Gemara says, "Omli Reb Lozer l'shamei." Reb Lozer said to his shamis, his waiter, his assistant, "Kra li vani echol, go and cut it for me, and I will eat from the kchal." And Rashi says, by the fact that he said "kra li," he didn't say "kodesh shesav erev." Just "kra li," he meant kriya ba'alma. You know, they do some minor, superficial type of incision. Frank Gemara. My Kamashwan, what's the Chiddush of Reb Lozer? Masisini. Our Mishnah already says, what's the din of the Chal? Koiroi. Umaytzias Chalavoi. So our Mishnah also doesn't require, doesn't say the Fadish. Shasi be'erev etochel b'koisel, it just says Koiroi. So therefore, all Reb Lozer is doing is repeating the Mishnah. So tomorrow, Kamashwan, just the opposite. Reb Lozer is telling us, I disagree. Loi be'inan shasi be'erev etochel b'koisel. It's enough to make a superficial cut. Then that's how you could learn the Gemara superficially. However, Rashi learns that what Reb Elazar is really telling us is it depends how you're going to go and cook it. If you're going to cook it in a kedera inside a pot, then you have to do this very, very detailed kriya of shesiv ve'erev v'tochu b'kaisim. If, however, you're only doing roasting on a spit, it's enough just to do a superficial kriya. What's the difference between the two? Because as a result of the roasting, the milk inside the udders is going to drip and drip and drip, just like we say, l'gabe, the locha of dam. Then, of course, you need malicha to get out dam if you're cooking it in a kedera. However, if you are just doing a tzli, just roasting a piece of meat, then you don't have to do a full-fledged malicha. Even a superficial malicha is enough, because the roasting will draw out all the blood. Here, too, says our Gemara, says Rabbi Elazar, when did Rabbi Yehuda require a shesi ve'erev v'tochu b'koisel, if you're going to cook it inside a pot, because you want to go and extract all the milk out, and if you're only going to do a superficial kriya, milk will remain, and when you cook it, the milk will go in, the milk will go out, the milk will go in, will go out. There will be a constant tug of war inside the pot with this milk and this chal, and the chal is going to remain awesome. That's why you have to do shesiv ve'erev v'tochu b'koisel. Masha Inken or Bloza said, but I'm not talking about putting in a pot. I'm just talking about putting it on a spit. Then Krali just needs to do a superficial kriya, and the roasting of the spit will do the rest in causing all the rest of the milk to spill out. Now, the Gemara goes...
Similar concept with the kaveh, with the liver. There you can't cook it in the pot altogether, but you have to do...
Very good. Very good. Beautiful. Shkoyach, Brother Shai. So now, the Gemara didn't say this explicitly. This is the way Rashi learned. And we'll see that this distinction between Tzli and Kedera is going to appear in another few lines at the bottom of the Amud. Before we get there, the Gemara tells us, I think this is a pretty famous story. Amr le Yalta, or Yalsa, to Rav Nachman. Yalta was the wife, the Rebbetzin of Nachman. And she said, Mechti.
Yalta.
Okay, it's fine with me. Yalta, certainly in Eretz Yisrael, they're going to say Yalta. They'll pronounce it Yalta. Anyway, said Yalta to Rav Nachman, Mechti, kol di osel and rachmana. Shorlon kavasei. Anything the Torah asserted, we find a counterpart which is mutter. What does that mean? Osalon doma. Torah says, you know, dam, ki koloi chadam and ichrisa. Shorlon kavna. However, the Torah was matter kove, meaning liver, which is full of dam. The Torah asserted nida, but the Torah was matter dam toihar. Rashi says dam toihar means either dam sulim, or the dam of Yeledes, where we know only the first week or two, depending on Zuchar Nekaiva, then it happens to be Osir, but after that, the next 33 or 66 days, is dam toya. The Torah asked Chelev Behema, but the Torah was Matir Chelev Chai. The Torah asked Chaz, I'm sorry?
Nachul? Given the case of the Chelev of a fetus. You said that Chelev, there was a machlokes, but we...
Exactly right, that's a machlokes. So if you hold like the mandiyama that holds Chelev Shuli is mutter, then you can give that as yet another example. But our good friend Rav Nachman did not want to get involved in machlokes, and he didn't want to confuse his wife and say, well, here's machlokes. He said, you want to have a time of Chelev? Chelev Chai. She's actually saying this on her own. Amr le Yaltzer Rav Nachman, Yalta, I know that Chelev Chaya is mutter, I don't need to get involved in machlekes. If I want to eat a shtik chazer, I can eat moichah de shibuta. Shibuta is a kosher fish, and the moyach, the head, we're soon going to eat the head on Rosh Hashanah, shenir l'rosh v'lo l'zanav, eat the head of the shibuta fish, it tastes just like chazer. Gerusa, Rashi says gerusa is an oif tamei, a non-kosher bird. You want to know what it tastes like? Eat lishna de kavra. Eat the lashon, eat the tongue of a kavra fish. You want a tam of an ashes ish, grusha b'chayi bala. You have a husband that never gave a get to his wife. He is still alive. You want to go and marry that woman. Until 5 minutes ago, I couldn't marry her. She was an ashes ish. He got her, he just got a get. Oh, so there, it has the tam just like the isser. The husband is still alive. Nevertheless, I'm allowed to go and marry that former ashes ish. You're not allowed to marry ashes ach, but you can go and marry Yavama. You're not going to marry a kusis. What we have in this week's parasha. Ki sovoy, ki seitzel mechon levecha. Risa shivyoy, yefas toya. So now Yaltze has given us 8 or 9 examples of something which is Osir, and the Torah has given us the Tam of the Isser in a Dova Mutter. Ve'inan lemeichel bisra b'chalva, I'd like to taste ashtikl basra b'cholav. Is there a kosher counterpart? Amr Rav Nachman, l'tavchi, yes. You know what you can do? Zviku loh kachli. Take from my wife, take a shtikl chal. Chal has in it the milk. Go and zviku loh means go and roast it on a barbecue spit, on a roasting spit. And then she'll go and feel still some of the tam. And that's where the Torah was matir basar b'cholav in a kosher oifen. Break timura. You can just simply put on the spit. Vanan to the koiroi. You have to do a full-fledged kriya. Mitashesi, mitan erev, mitocha b'koisim. Anthony Moore, like we said before, ahulik data. That's if you're cooking in a pot. Because you're cooking in the pot, then the milk inside the khal will come out, but it'll go back in. And it'll come out and go back in. Because it's going to go in and out the whole time as you're cooking it. Masha Enked, if you're talking about putting on a spit, then it's going to drip, 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 and there won't be any milk left inside. Frey Tigamara, I Boktani, didn't we learn before in that price, Khal Shibishloi Becholvoi is mutter, that you mavashu, you cooked it. Aye, you're not allowed to. It has all that milk inside. So Tigamara, the Evet in Lichat, Boktani Shibishloi, the Evet in Lichat Chiloloi, that the Evet you're allowed to, but not Lichat Chilah. The truth of the matter is that if you're koir oi and you do a shasi ve'erev and tochu b'koisul, you can even eat it lechat chila. However, why did it say shebishloi, which is mash only b'dievet, to contrast it against the case of the keva? Either kaboy the missus sefer keva shebishla b'chol is asura afil b'dievet nami. You're not allowed to eat it even with the oven. The reason is because this is real live milk that the baby animal went and drank and nursed from its mommy, and then it got situated in the keva, and before it had a chance to disperse in the rest of the animal, you shechted it. So this is real live milk. You're not allowed to go and eat from that milk if you will mavashal the milk together with the keva. That's why it says that the same thing applies to the halacha applies to the chal, that if you had milk in it, don't go and cook it. But if you did cook it, b'dieved, it will be kosher. So in the case of kedera, you have to go and do a full-fledged shesi be'erev etochem b'koisel. In the case of the tzli, that is not necessary, even just a little bit of a kriya koldu is enough, and then roasted, and then it will drip, drip, drip.
What is the kriya called to who? It implies no kriya.
You see, if you go back to Reb Loza that we had before, Reb Loza said to the Shame, Krali vano eich. So Gemara said, Krali, status in the Mishnah Kriya. What's the Chiddush of Reb Loza? Kamashulon, that you don't need the Shasi v'erev, but you do need a kriya. So look at Rashi in the middle of the Amud. Mas Nisim, go back to Krali. Chal, Koyim Shetzitzlenu. Reb Loza said to his shamis, go and do a kriya, and then I'll do a tzli. Do a tzli, v'ano eich, and then I will eat it. I must listen to the Mishnah, says kriya mitchilasi umutim. Ha-kamashu and the kriya ba'alma k'amalei. You only need a kriya ba'alma. What's a kriya ba'alma? Oy shesi. Oy erev. You don't have to do a full shesi, the erev, and go and smash it against the wall. Abisla is genuk. Why is abisla enough? V'shachol v'anoitiv yoytze lamata. U'mishiyotze. It doesn't return back to its roots. As soon as it drips, it drips, it drips, it falls down to the bottom. Why do you need a figdeira? Yes, the milk will be drawn from the meat as a result of the kdeira, of the cooking. But that very same milk is going to go back in again. It's going to be in and out. It's going to be a tug of war between the meat and the milk, and it's going to remain osir. That's why you have to do a full-fledged kriya of shesi ve'erev v'tochu b'koisel. However, if you're doing a tzli, it's not necessary. Now Rashi adds one more knetch, one more wrinkle, and that is that the Raisa that said Khal Shabishle Bachol Vayiz Mutter, says Rashi, don't read Bishl that it was cooked in a Kedera, read that it was Bishle on a spit. Are you going to say, but that's not called Bishl, that's called Sli? Says Rashi, we find that Sli is called in the Torah Bishl. Where do we find that in a Pasuk of Divrei Hayamim? Sli Nami Kore Bishl, Vayivashlu HaPesach. Pesach, you don't do Bishl. Pesach, you go and do Sli. Nevertheless, the Torah calls it Bishl. It's a chasimin that you can use the term Bishl colloquially and broadly and generically to go and include Sli. So the Rashi is beautiful. There's only one Ha'ara, and that is on Shabbos Kodesh, when we laid Parshas Re'eh, it said, as you know, in Parshas Re'eh, we spoke about the various Yom Kodesh, and it says about the Korban Pesach, Uvishalta V'ochalta. Zok the Heilige Rashi, what means Uvishalta? Mitzli. So you see that the Chumash already uses the term Bishol instead of Tzli. Why did Rashi have to go and be Mevi Mimerchok Lachmoy, bring a raya from Divrei Hayomim? So anybody that has an answer, I'd love to hear it. But bottom line is, when it says in that braisa, Bishle, Chal She Bishle, B'chol V'Mutter, it's Mutter L'Chadchila, it's talking about Metatzli. No, Metatzli, there's no problem. You only have to do a Kriya Koldu or Kriya Ba'alma, either a Shesi or an Erev, but not a full-fledged Shesi Erev, B'tochu B'kais. Okay, Brother Shai?
Excellent, sure.
Now, Barry has a question. Yes, Barry.
Yeah, so the milk inside the chol, is that considered...
Inside the chal. Chol is a spleen.
Thank you. The milk inside...
Yes.
What is its halacha status? Is it usher? Is it mutter? Is it milk? Is it fleshes?
Please turn back to the Amud Aleph, Kuftes Amud Aleph, assuming you have your Gemara open. On the last two lines of the Rashi, last three lines, Rashi says, Lekori eini oiver... Loy al achila nishan bishul, the lav cholav mikri. It is not called cholav. Rather, what is it called? It's called cholav shchuta. Cholav shchuta is mutter min ha-toira. It's only osir midrabanan.
And it's considered fleshes?
The chal is fleshes. The chal is zicha fleshes.
The cholav shchuta, is it considered milchitz or fleshes? That's my question.
It's parv.
Okay. Next question. Next thing. Just one point. Gemara Kedushin talks about is more chashiv adif yoser mishlucho, and it says the Rav Safra machrek resha Rava asa shibuta. The same fish we saw today, which is the tamachazer. That's the one that Rava prepared erev Shabbos for Shabbos himself.
It's exactly right. And if anybody decided not only to eat the shibuta, but also the reish of the shibuta, he would have felt, or she would have felt, that it has a tam of chazer. So it's a totally kosher fish. And you're right, it says, Rava molach shibuta be'erev Shabbos, or be'shabata, which means erev Shabbos. That's the beginning of the second parak, Ishma Kadesh, and mitzvah boy, yoysim vishluchai. You're absolutely correct. Shkoyach Barry, for bringing that to our attention. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Hatzlocha, as I mentioned, Zad Kizun.